Welcome to Vegas Happy Hour. It is another beautiful Wednesday night, and I am your host, Nicole Chavez. Today is a very special day for Vegas Happy Hour. We are presenting our first guest. I am here for you, the listeners. So I made sure I would give someone really special this exceptional spot. And today we will be talking with a gentleman named Winkman. He is a set lighting technician that I met while on set for a television show in Los Angeles. That was a lot of fun. Before we get to that, I have great news for you. You can hear all of our archive shows at VegasHappyHour.net. That's our brand new website that I just put together, and I can't wait for you to check it out. Now, let's start our night off with a fun song that I think is appropriate for Vegas right now. I love this time of year because it's beautiful. And although the sun is out, it's at night we get back to that sweater weather. Here's The Neighborhood.
All I am is a man. I want the world in my hands. I hate the beach, but I stand in California with my toes in the sand. Use the sleeves of my sweater. Let's have an adventure. Head in the clouds, but my gravity centered. Touch my neck and I'll touch yours. You and
Now, Weekman is here with us from Los Angeles, California. That's right, Hollywood, where also sweater weather. Weekman has a very good sense of humor, which is part of the reason why I got the opportunity to meet this awesome guy. Hello, and welcome to Vegas Happy Hour.
Hi, Nicole. It's Weekman. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thank you for being here. Now, when I met you, you were working on a show as a lighting tech. We also spoke quite a bit about the acting industry. Share with us how long you have been working in the biz.
Arrived here when I was 22. That would be 1984. Don't do the math about how old I am now.
I do it all the time. I get caught. I let it slip, and they start trying to do it. It sucks.
Sure. I got into a theater company. I was doing the whole theater or acting job kind of a thing, the thing that you do when you're trying to be an actor. I'd say struggled for about 4 or 5 years. And I have a background in tech also, and there's just this immediate sense of, well, gee, even if it's a theater show, they pay you to work the light board. But you act for exposure, you know. And so I just started doing more tech work and then got into the rock and roll clubs and the Whiskey and the Roxy. And then at some point through that, somebody said, hey, I bought a rock video. And so suddenly by the time I was 30, that would be 8 years later, there was just this real frozen moment of, okay, like you don't get to like do tech for 8 hours a day and then have an acting class at night. You do tech for 12, 14, 16 hours a day or longer, however long the shoots are. And then there's really day offs for day off. I didn't, like, go to an acting class. So just that frozen moment of, like, I really had to focus. And I wasn't acting, but I was doing this tech where the money was. And I went, okay, fine. Make a decision, draw a line, be okay with not being famous, and go for the tech. And that was, like I said, the beginning of my getting into to the real rock video work over the years. And then probably about another 5 years after that, 4 years after that, I got in a show. That it's the age-old, how do you get in the union? Well, get in a union show. Well, how do you get in a union show? Well, you got to be in the union, right? So how you do get in is you turn a show. You get in a non-union show, and you basically go on strike. And that's what we did, and we got the show to turn, which permitted us, as they say, we're working as permit to get on the show, and we got our union days, and I became an electrician in the electrician's union. That was in, like, 96.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting, because I'm mostly exposed to the acting industry, so it sounds like it's totally different for the tech side. So that's how you ended up making it into that union. Very fascinating.
Yeah, exactly. So like I say, I and it's interesting how we met, because you're an actress and I was a tech. I mean, usually there's like that line of like, oh, you know, I'm an actress. I don't talk to you guys with the gorilla arms and you do with tools all day long. You're wearing shorts. Oh, stay away.
I actually think the opposite. Like, I actually think the complete opposite. That's right. Yeah. Weekman and I actually met on set while we were filming a television show.
Marry Me.
Out at Paramount Studios. And that was a lot of fun. I think the complete opposite. I love hanging out with you guys who are around it more often than I am, because I feel like there's a lot more I can learn. And you tend to have a lot more interesting experiences because you are around it. And I love that creativity that's reflected than, you know, sometimes even my fellow background actors. Although they are also very creative as well. Sometimes I like to get away and get to know a different side of it. You mentioned something that really made me think and reminded me of something very important, because I talk to a lot of actors in the business who get very down about, I'm going to make it, and they get all depressed because they're not making it. And it's like, I've had to remind a lot of them, because I've been in it for a while and I understand, I have to remind them, if you are doing it even part time, you're doing it. Congratulations, you've made it. They think that making it means they're going to get extremely wealthy and this and that, and they have this big dream of stardom. But I think that they're not realizing that that's just a complete mirage, a complete facade, and it doesn't work like that. You really have to work doing something else around it to be around it. And that most people in acting don't really make that much money from acting.
Well, and the thing is the first step I would say is move to Hollywood.
Right.
You know? Second step is have Hollywood say, you know, screw you. Welcome to Hollywood. Now screw you and go home. You know? And the phrase of like, I want to break into the entertainment industry. It's a great phrase, because it's literally like breaking in, like a thief in the night. No, nobody wants you. Nobody needs you. We're just fine without you. And you, like, have to break in.
Exactly. You know? There's, like, there's quite a few opportunities, but there's so few for each individual because every single job is looking for someone that's so specific for that role. And I think because of that, a lot of actors have to deal with that constant rejection. And so they end up getting not that many gigs, and it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, and they don't get paid that much, and they get down and out about it. And you're saying, what I'm hearing from you is that you can't give up, and you really have to accept rejection as a part of life. And you know, it's interesting because I just finished working a sales gig, something else I do.
Okay, yeah,
and we deal with rejection as well.
I was about to comment. I apologize. I guess there's a delay. Like if there's an interruption delay, I guess I can interrupt you. No, I'm kidding.
No, please do.
it's not so much just, I don't want to like make it as, what do you call it? The virtues of like, well, it takes persistence, you know, or it takes belief in yourself, you know, it's really more, core. It's really more, you know, bound deep than that.
And so really let me ask you the magic question. What's the most important thing to realize in such a hard business?
Thank you. It's really a matter of it's a combination of many things. One is, do I love it? And then there's also facing the reality of what this business really is.
Right.
And like there's and probably the best analogy about anything in life really is, you know, a pregnant woman giving birth, okay? Yet the horrible and very painful, I say horrible, but you know, I'm a man, it's horrible. But the very painful and very, very strenuous process of giving birth results in the birth of a child, okay? And it's kind of like that, where there's a fantasy version of what Hollywood is, and then there's the reality version. And as you go along, you get confronted with, oh, I didn't know it was going to be this hard. I don't know if it was going to take that long. I didn't know there's like this many. I don't know the competition was that fierce. And there's this constant readjustment of, as my brother says, death of fantasy, of in spite of the fact that this is now not meeting my expectations, am I now going to readjust and go forward? Or am I going to go back into fantasy land and like wish it was something different? Or adjust the other reality way and go, I didn't know it was going to be this hard. I'm done. I'm out of here.
Right. So you really have to accept reality. And just like having a baby, a lot of people who have their firstborn baby, they don't realize how much hard work it's going to be. But if they actually love it that much, they're still going to remain completely committed to it despite the hard work.
Or the other end of it, too, is that the hard work results in giving birth to a new life, which has got to be astronomical.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not
it
a father
involves
myself,
a lot of changes.
Know.
What you're saying, what I'm hearing you say is it involves a lot of changes and accepting that reality that it's not the fantasy that most people have. And I think a lot of that fantasy might be based on what they see on TV, what they read in the tabloids and things like that. And they think that all of a sudden it's going to happen for them like it did that top 3%. But it doesn't seem like the reality is that it's going to come that easy for everybody else.
Exactly. I had two conversations with two different actors over the years, just in passing, as tech and also years ago in my acting classes. One guy said it the best way. He's like, forget about your dreams. He's like, can you be happy making $30,000 to $50,000 a year, good years, bad years, whatever, as an actor for the rest of your life? And that's really what it comes down to is quote, average people make an average wage of about 30 to 50 grand a year, some more, some less. And then they live their life. There's their 40 years in whatever company and then they retire. Can you be an actor and make an average wage without all the hoopla and dreams and fame of, you know, being a big star and be happy?
So I guess
that I lived my life acting and I made a living wage doing it. Can I be happy with that?
So I guess
I think the big question that people need to ask themselves, because otherwise, if Hollywood's always going to be there to tear you down in terms of like you're not going to be a star.
Right. So I guess what they're saying is, you know, you really have to accept that you might not make that much money at it, and can you accept living off of that kind of wages? And what's more important to you? Is it the money or is it the dream? I mean, it's definitely possible by a shooting star, one in a million chance that you could make millions, billions from it. But I mean, accepting the reality that it's going to be a lot harder to make a living, and you're going to have to deal with making that low amount of money in order to really give it a true shot. And that involves that passion and that love for what you do. So what's more important, the money or the love, of that industry?
You know, there's a great CD and book set. It's called Do the Work. I forget the author's name. I'll think of it. There's a CD set I bought. It's like two CDs. Do the Work. And he's a writer, and so it's actually great because his analogy is as a writer, but it applies to anybody. And his thing is just very simple. Is like, there's nothing different about acting than there is about being a watch repairman or a set tech or a plumber. There's nothing different. You still got to go to work. And at the end of the day, is the work satisfying enough where you want to pursue it and the money that you make from it enough versus, I want to get out and go do something else. And Hollywood and your passion and your drive will determine your choices. You know what I'm saying? And I could give examples from my own life. Like I say, when I turned 30, it was like this real frozen moment of, I'm not acting. I'm just not. I've been here 8 years, and I'm doing the tech, and I'm actually enjoying myself doing that, and I'm making money doing that. But in my spare time, I'm not taking acting classes. I'm not trying to get extras agent, for the central casting. I'm not doing that. So what do I want to do about that? Just let it go or pursue it? And I was just really straight with myself, just going, no, I'm done, saying. And so, like I say, the other actor that I talked to out here had a great way to say it also. He said, if somebody comes to them and says, do you think I should like pursue an acting career as I like a lot? The actor said, I asked them one question. I say, apart from acting, is there anything else that you might want to consider doing with your life? And, the person will say this, that, the other, and his answer will be, great, go do that. Just flat out. Just, if it's, because basically the answer he needs to have come back, which it was for him, is, nope, there's nothing I can see myself doing anything besides acting. That's what it was for him. There's nothing else he wanted to do besides act. He went, okay, then I'm going to be an actor. He said, but all the time he talks to other actors and they're like, well, if I don't do this, I can always fall back on that. And if I don't have this, I like music too and whatever.
Right. They think it's going to be their main mojo.
Yeah, and his response is just like, his view of himself and looking at other young actors just being like, I could just see the distraction already. You're never going to make it. And then again, not make it like a star, but make it as a working actor because you want other things, And the point is that Hollywood as a business and as a reality will hone you, as they say, like the dull knife coming in. It will sharpen you to a more seasoned edge, so to speak, of what it's really about. And you're going to adapt to that and go, I'm going to go for it or not. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. It kind of reminds me of, I speak to quite a few people who they say they're very, very passionate about it, but a lot of things about life come down to intentions. And when people tell me, I really want to do it. What am I going to do? I'm getting down and out. And they keep saying, I was like, what do you want to do? And I try to be clear about what it is that they're after. And when they sit there and they tell me, I want to be rich and famous, I start to question. I wonder, I'm like, is this really what you love doing? What are your intentions? Because the reality is in this industry as a profession, it's more than unlikely that you'll be rich and famous, but you can, find a way to do what you love. And what I respect about you is that although you did end up working in tech lighting and you'd made that shift, you're still around the industry and around that creativity. And I think that that's really important, is to find a way to be around it if that's what you love to be around. And I consider, a lot of what I do when I do a lot of sales and promotions and things like that, every time I'm taking on a new product or anything like that, I'm practicing a script. So in a way, I still get that creativity out there.
There you go. See, in other words, if you love the work, like what this guy talks about in this book, Do the Work. Oh, Pressman. His last name is Pressman. I forget his first name. Anyway.
And the name of that one was?
Do the Work.
Do the Work by Pressman. I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah. And he just very simply just says, look, it's really just a matter of like I say, comparing, you know, the plumber does his work, you do your work. But at the same time, your love of it and your fulfillment of it versus that versus something else. And go ahead, I kind of lost that. I forgot to ask you something else.
That happens to me a lot, too. I mean, I can tell you're passionate about what you're talking about because you have so much to say about it. And I definitely agree with you.
I remember. Thank you.
Perfect.
Is that the doing of the work, what people don't get is, okay, I'll go sign up for an extra service. So I'll go join Central Casting. Okay. And then you do all the things to be an extra, right? To be a working extra, like maybe making 15 or 20 grand a year of the other 100,000 extras that there are in Hollywood. I'm not exaggerating, kids. There's that many extras and actors out here.
So true.
Okay. It takes years. And by comparison, how I started in the biz, I was at the Whiskey doing shows up there, and this guy said, hey, we have a rock video thing we're having about in a week. Can you help us out, wrap out the end of the rock video? And I go, sure. How much? It's $100 for 6 hours work. I go, great. You know, oh, we don't need you. So I was on this list of like the constant not need me list, you know? And then there was the one time he called, like maybe 4 months later, after being rejected about 5 or 6 times, going, you know, if you say yes, you will work. And I had to work the next day in another job, but I took it anyway. And I worked a Poison video, which is one of the songs you have tonight. It's the first video I ever worked on. The point is, I worked as a company called Rap Patrol, and they rapped out at the end of rock videos. They shoot for 18, 20, 30 hours, whatever. They're dog tired. We'd come in and rap, we'd do 5, 6 hours work, make $150, happy days. I did that for 10 years, wrapping out stages at the end of rock videos.
Awesome.
Now, the point I'm getting at is it was about 4 or 5 years in before I got an in into actually working on a rock video.
Right, and you had to work towards it, and you had to accept that it doesn't come that easy. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Before somebody noticed me and went, hey, dude, what are you doing Rap Patrol for? Why don't you come and work on the crew sometime? You seem like you know what you're talking about. You wire houses. You wire, you know, you're a regular electrician. Why don't you come, you know, give me your number. I'll see if I can get you on a crew sometime.
You know, you would make a really, really good point. You really have to be willing to work hard and not expect things just to come to you. And it reminds me of when I go out of my way. Like, sometimes I go way out of my way. Like, when I met you that day, to go to LA to take that job, even though it might just be background work, or take that job, even though it's not a big deal to most other people. They're like, what the hell are you doing? You're not getting paid that much, but it's my passion, so I do it, and I'm trying to prove myself and my work ethic. And I truly do believe that in the end, that will pay off. And most people can't figure out, you know, it's like any other job. They don't see it as any other job. They want to go in and they want to get that phone call without having to work for it. They expect to get paid a lot right away. And the reality is, it's like any other job, in the way that even though it takes more time to get those little opportunities, with every single company you're working with or through, you have to prove yourself how you're reliable, you're responsible, and you have that strong work ethic. And I don't think everybody sees it that way.
You know, it's a great movie along these lines. It's more music. It's called 20 Feet from Fame. It's a documentary about the background singers of famous people. And the missteps, missed opportunities, missed careers, at the same time, a sense of a lack of motivation, a sense of comfort. I'm comfortable being a background singer, collecting my paycheck and just getting my day rate for whatever thing I sing on or tour I do or whatever, and not quite ever being the star, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right, totally.
And some of them are happy doing it, and some of them went for it and got frustrated and got out. Others felt the rejection, whatever. And yet, like I say, there's that sense of, at the same time, like I said before, like, could you be an actor making 40 grand a year for the rest of your life and be happy, you know? And like I say, it's a matter of that doing the work thing again of, you're going to come out, you're going to be an extra for years. Certainly you should work hard at it. Certainly you should work at getting an agent and getting seen and doing plays and anything else you can, along with having a job that you can run away from and go do an audition or whatever, like a waitress job or something like that.
Right, you know, right. And you bring up a really good point, and that's that when you audition, it's money you're putting out. It costs money to audition. It costs money to go out mm-hmm. there, put the time aside. You're not usually getting paid for that. And I think also it's also very, very, very important – to understand what you're saying in regards to that film you're talking about, is that those people seem to be happy about being in the background. They're happy about doing what they're doing, even though they're not always the star. And I think a lot of that has to do with the law of attraction and having that gratitude attitude. Because so many people want to sit there and bitch and complain, I'm not there yet. I'm not this, I'm not that. And I do, you know what? Well, the days I get those little itty bitty jobs where I actually get to do what I love, I am like the happiest camper. I am the happiest person on earth, and I do my best to eat it up and enjoy it, because life is short, man. And I think that a lot of people too do recognize your attitude when you're on set. If you're going to sit there and be grumbling and complaining, just like any other work environment, nobody wants to put up with it, and you're bringing the team down.
here's the bottom line too, is, and this is a strange paradox, okay? Things that make news because they're rare.
Right.
But because we live in such modern times, news, 24/7 all the time.
Pure
wherever
exposure.
You go, it seems like there's a lot of commonality of rare, even better. The rarity seems common because it's reported on so much. So coming to Hollywood, becoming a star, seems like it's easy because it's reported on so much. What's not reported on, of course, is the 98% of people that are just your workday, whatever actors out here struggling, trying to make it, you know, like everybody else is in the world. And then there's the report of the kid that shows up from Kansas. He's 20 years old and he's got his guitar or whatever the deal is and walks into some studio and blah, blah, blah. Sings. He sounds like Bob Dylan, gets a record deal, and you're like, how?
You know, it's,
how did that just happen?
Yeah,
it happened,
yeah.
Because it's rare, and it's rare, but that's why it gets reported on. But it's not the norm, is my point. It's totally not the norm.
I totally agree with you, and it's so underexposed how hard it is and how many people, you know, have gone through tragedy because it's hit them so hard and they're not able to deal with it so well as a lot of other people when they don't make it right away. And, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because that's, I think, a huge reason why, you know, within my own family, I haven't seen as much support as I'd like to personally see. You know, a little personal story. You know, my mom had a really good friend growing up. You know, she's from L.A. My parents are from L.A. And she joined the union. She was all stoked and excited to get started. But because she couldn't get enough work, she kind of went a little crazy. She went to a therapist. And way back in the day, that's when they were doing the electrocution therapy with the brain, you know? Not cool.
Oh, wow.
And she lost her best friend. And I think a really good friend of hers. And I think because of that, you know, she was so hurt by that experience. It's been really, really hard for her to want to be as supportive of me in this business. And maybe it's because she's afraid I'm going to get hurt or lose it myself. And I kind of understand that. I mean, and you're right. It's not exposed enough how hard it is to make it in the business.
The in that that Do the Workbook, the guy's got, and I've heard it in other people's self-improvement, you know, tapes or whatever, but he breaks it down to two things. I mean, all self-help is right here. How bad do you want it?
Right.
Like, forget about, you know, motivation and willpower and drive and commitment and perseverance, whatever. How bad do you want it? And the second one, I could talk more about that, but the second one is, why do you want it? Okay? And that's it. And that'll develop. And see, the thing, like, even with the tech thing, I didn't really get how bad I wanted it until about 6 years ago, maybe 8 years ago. Because basically I got in the union, and after a few years in the union, quote, like I'm 35, whatever, I'm like, I'm seeing the writing on the wall going, oh my God, it's physical labor. I got to get out of this business, right? So whatever money I made, I used to get out of the business, you know. Long and short, 10 years later, by 45, I went bankrupt. Okay, and then we had a financial meltdown,
right.
And then I struggled for years as work was going out to Atlanta and New Orleans or whatever, and I didn't really find myself getting into, like, knowing that this is what I wanted to do until about, I would say, I'll tell you when, it was 2011. I worked on the third Batman movie was here. They shot all over the U.S., but they did an L.A. segment for about 2 months, and it was like a starving person being let loose in the greatest, like, amusement park you could be in. I mean, there was the Batmobiles and the flying things and the whatever, you know, like big movie stuff, which I haven't seen in 7 or 8 years because I've been starving so much. And like making movie money and 6 day weeks and catering and all this stuff and, you know, the $1,000 or more checks, you know what I'm saying? And it was like, why did I want to get out of this business 10 years ago? What did I hate about this so much? What was my problem 10 years ago? Why did I, this is awesome.
Right,
what
right.
My big, you know what I'm saying?
You know,
so
I appreciate
suddenly,
it.
Suddenly there
yeah.
I was, like having had it taken away from me, I had it again and I went, that's it. Like, I'm in. Count me in. Bring the Batmans and the Ironmans and the Hunger Games. Bring it back to L.A. because you know what? I'm in, man. I'm doing this for the rest of my life.
Oh, that's so awesome. You know? What a great story. You know, and I think you bring up a really good point in that even though we might not, as actors, be able to make as much money as we would like to make and, you know, it can be really hard out there, you bring up the idea that there are still other ways in the industry to be able to use your creativity. And it's so important that if that really is your passion, to put yourself around it and find a way to make money that way so that you still get that creativity. And I try to encourage a lot of people about that because I think, you know, if they really are passionate about acting and they're not getting those opportunities, you know, part of finding that fulfillment is also doing other projects on the side or finding a job where they can have that creativity and find other ways to get it. Because, you know, the reality is if you truly, truly are passionate about performing and the arts, it's not going to be about the money. It's not like that at all.
Yeah, ultimately, are you as committed to meeting with a couple of friends that are working on a scene for a play and they want to show it to somebody, so they're asking you, hey, come watch us perform this scene. And like, you're like, wow, what an opportunity. I get to watch my friends work on something, doing the work, like that book, okay? Some people do. So in essence, they're working, but you're going to go watch them. So now you're working in a way. You know, does that excite you, or are you going to cop an attitude and be like, oh, well, they're not going to pay me, so I'm not going to go.
Right.
That's where the love, the passion of what it is that, you know, how bad do you want it comes into play. Because at that point, then, it won't matter whether money, whatever. You got a couple of actor pals that want you to come. You'll go.
You know,
you'll go because it's a cool opportunity and it's great. And you're saying about yourself, you'll file it in with more experience about something that you can use later on.
Yeah, and you bring up a really great point, too, about life. You know, a lot of things in life, even though they might be hard work and we might go through, you know, obstacles, a lot of the best things in life that you have to work hard for, you know, they bring some of the most happiness. And that's really important to remember. I mean, you think about the other important values in people's lives, like family and really good friends. That does not have to do with money. And it's important to stay focused on what's really important to you in your heart and in your life, for sure. You know, I want to definitely have you on the show again as a guest. I think there's so much more I want to hear from you. But first,
sure.
I want to introduce this first song choice of yours. What is it, and why is it significant to you? You mentioned it was one of the first songs or music videos that you worked on.
Yeah, it was. It's Poison, the band Poison. The song is Nothing But a Good Time. And it was, the short version is basically I was working construction and making $7 an hour doing regular construction electric. And it was Sunday afternoon. And, of course, I had to be at work Monday at about 6 a.m. at the construction site.
Sounds like my life, 24/7.
Yeah. And so these were the guys that called me, the RAP patrol. WRAP patrol, and they said, if you say yes, you will work. I need 12 guys. We're wrapping out Olympic Auditorium downtown. It's a Poison video. You in? And I was like, long and short, I said yes, and I got to leave early. I told myself, I got to get this other job at 6 a.m. So I left at 4, came home, slept an hour, you know, jumped in the car, made it for 6 a.m., worked a construction day, of course, came home and collapsed, but the point is I made, I think, $250 that one day, which was basically $7 an hour was a week's pay.
Right.
And I was like, I'm freaking in.
You know what, dude? You know what, dude? One of my favorite jobs was working as a camp counselor with kids. And believe it or not, it was mostly volunteer. And I got paid $2 an hour. And people's jaws drop. And I'll tell you, there was nothing like that time in my life. I will never forget it. On that note, I love your stories, and we're going to kick this off with Poison, Ain't Nothing But a Good Time. Here we go with that song.
Woo!
I hear that song, I can only imagine what it'd be like to work on the video. What was it like?
Oh, just, I mean, that in that moment, I mean, you know, the Olympic Auditorium, it's a regular concert hall. Not now, it's closed down, but, you know, it's, and the full rock and roll stage, explosions, fire, big lights, big hair. You know, it was the whole rock and roll movie, Hollywood, anything you'd want to imagine. Here I am, just, you know, at this point it's probably 26 by that point, and it's like my first, as we say, my first barbecue, as we call it, and just, oh my God, you know, look, there's the guys from Poison right there.
Wow.
You know? And food, and pretty, and this is, you know, the 80s, so it was the big hair and girls in spandex.
Oh my gosh, this is kind of disturbing, because this is what my parents made love to conceive me. Oh my gosh, that's such kind of an awkward memory.
You know, and then, but like I say, but then at that point, like the what do you call it? The rush, you know, the rush goes away, and there's work to do. I mean, certainly the rush that was, there was a high that night, but I probably wrapped out in 88 through like I was still doing in Rap Patrol even after I got in the union. Like whenever I wasn't on a union show, I work with them. So maybe mid-90s. So that's probably about 10, 12 years. You know, I probably wrapped out maybe 500-600 rock videos.
Oh my gosh, that's so
awesome.
You
know, let alone working on them, the ones that I would actually work on as crew. You know what I'm saying? And at some point, you know, it becomes a job again.
Right.
There's obviously another good point to make with anybody that wants to, you know. You don't really know how much you love it until you get out of it and you get a job. You get something that you absolutely hate doing. And that happened around 91, whenever the LA riots were. I was not in the union yet, and it just the riots hit, and like suddenly LA was a pariah. Like, nobody wanted to work here.
Oh, man, my family moved to Oregon after the riots.
oh, no kidding.
No joke. I moved out back to Vegas when I was 21 after that. But, yeah, we escaped after that. We were freaked out.
Yeah. And I literally had to get a job working construction again. At this point, I was now making, you know, 10, 12 bucks an hour. So, you know, but I, like I say, from working, like I say, there was that frozen moment years earlier where I was like, I think I could just do Rap Patrol. And I could make a living. Fun. I did that, and that was awesome. Then I had to get a job, right? Then it was just, like I say, just that mixture of hating the job but recognizing that I had something. And then you know, on a Wednesday night, Rap Patrol called me, hey, dude, can you work a job? I'm like, no, I can't. I went back to construction. Oh, dude, well, let us know when you're out of that. I'm like, you know, I'm turning down a rock video because I got, you know, construction work to do. And I did that for about a year and a half. And there was a point where a combination of two elements, the construction company laid me off temporarily, and I got a lot of video work, and I went, this is about like maybe 94, I went, that's it, I'm back in, man. I'm going to make it, I don't care.
You know,
I'm done, I'm going to make it work.
Yeah.
And like I say, from that point there, maybe another 2 years after that, 95, 6, is when I got in the union. And like I say, you don't know how much you like what you're doing until you got a, like, I had to go get a construction job, and it was like, oh my God, there's no pretty girls, there's no catering, there's no, you know, or of course the money wasn't as good, and I didn't like what I, you know, and it was like, that's when I knew I liked what I did, you know, or as I like to say, it's the job we love to hate, but it sure beats working for a living.
Right. No, you know, it's funny you say that. I completely agree with you because I had a huge shift happen to me in my own personal life. I had a crazy tragedy happen, unfortunately, due to a series of circumstances of getting involved with the wrong people. And I ended up losing a really decent paying job I had. And I had worked for this company. We sold merchandise for a company I did that for about 4 to 5 years. And what ended up happening was I had to lose that. And that job I was a supervisor for pop superstars and things like that. And when I lost that, because I had to for safety, I was really bummed out because especially financially, it hit me really hard, but it forced me to take a turn into going back into spending a lot more time into performing and acting and all that stuff. And despite the fact that I'm not making as much money, I have to bust my butt and work 24/7 working a million jobs to be able to do it. I am so much more happier because I get that internal gratification. I have that passion and that's being fulfilled. I write this internet radio show that we're doing right now. I'm able to do these commercials, these TV shows where I met you. I have never been happier in my life.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, it reminds me of your experience as well. That's so interesting that we have like these parallels with the LA riots and all that stuff, you know, even though we just recently met.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I say, that's the challenge of, like I say, that mixture of happiness, loving what you do, and not really, because we said it earlier, but I can't reference it now how you said it, but basically happiness is, how do I say this? I read this in a book somewhere. It's brilliant. Happiness, you can't go for happiness. Happiness is a thing that is a result that you're not in control of. So there's a basically that sense of not recognizing you're happy when you're happy until after the fact you look back and you go, that was the happiest time of my life. You know what I'm saying? And because you were in the zone, you were living your life and you were doing the work and the work was satisfying, but you didn't quite know it was satisfying because you were too busy doing the work to know you were happy. You know what I'm saying? Until later, like I say, like with me, like, oh, no more rock videos, go here, go work this construction job. I was like, no!
Yeah, you're able to look back and recognize that for sure. You know, and that happiness reminds me of the biggest rock video ever that you worked on. Did you want to go ahead and introduce that for us?
Sure. It was the Michael Jackson Black or White video, which was a big deal because it was debuting at the beginning of The Simpsons as a portion of that show, like the first 8 minutes or whatever. And it was a big deal. It's like the biggest rock video ever filmed at that time, money-wise, tech-wise, special effects-wise, the whole thing. And I worked on other Michael Jackson videos before that, but this was like a really big deal. And I didn't really get it, you know, until I was working around the corner from where I lived at the time on the West Side, and there's Culver Stages. And I worked the Culver Stages, and I was like, great, close, because they were shooting all over town, all these locations. If you look at the video, all these locations are everywhere. And anyway, so I'm coming home, and I go to a 7-Eleven to go buy something, and there's a TV guide on the counter as you ring up, and right on the counter was Michael Jackson's face going, Black or White video, this, you know, this Thursday on The Simpsons. And I'm like, it's like six. It's like a weekend. It's like Saturday, the Saturday before, like a week earlier. I'm like, we're still shooting that. How can it be on the? But the fact that a rock video was on the front of TV Guide was like, and I was just there minutes ago. I was like, holy crap, this is huge. This is a big deal, you know. So yeah, and unfortunately, it was a huge flop because of the latter part of the video. He had some innuendo and whatever, and the kids and watching The Simpsons. It would have been better if they'd aired it on MTV at midnight. He would have been a genius. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But because it was on The Simpsons, you know. But the point is that as videos go, it's seared in my memory of like I say, at some point, 500 videos, they all blend together. You know. And you never forget your first barbecue, as they say. And then you never forget your most famous thing, which would be the Michael Jackson.
Well, I know definitely, yeah. Michael Jackson crossed a lot of boundaries and barriers and really made quite the statement with that video. So let's go ahead and hear that song. Here's Michael Jackson with Black or White.
Awesome.
love that song. You know, kind of a funny fact about me is in my high school yearbook, I was named best Michael Jackson dancer. That's right. I was one of his biggest fans. Once again, something I have a parallel with you. I had no idea when I watched that awesome video that you were a part of it. And I'm very, very privileged to have met you. I'm really excited about this. Now, we just have a few more minutes of the show. Is there anything else you wanted to add to this?
Is there anything else that I want to ask you, or you want to ask me?
No, that you want to add to your experiences, or anything you wanted to share with everybody about, you know, following your passions and doing what you love out there in L.A.
Yeah, I would say, and it's, I'm getting into my own life right now with something else, but let it all go. That's for life. That's for Hollywood. That's for making it out here. That's for whatever. Anything that you want to pursue is going to have an impression in your mind of how you think it's supposed to be. And the more that you confront the fact that it's not the way that it's supposed to be, that whatever the reality is not matching what's inside your head, is going to have you not want to do it anymore. And just to remind yourself that nothing's ever going to match your head, or even better. Some things will be better than expected, some things will go exactly as expected, and some things are never going to match your expectations.
Right.
I don't know what the percentage is, but most of the time, nothing's going to match what you're thinking about.
Thank you so much for joining us. That is an awesome way to end it, and I agree with you. Life has a flow, and we have to ride that wave. So don't be surprised when it's not what you expected. Thank you so much for joining us. And that's
it
for Vegas Happy Hour tonight. Once again, join us by checking out our brand new website, VegasHappyHour.net, where you can listen to all of our archive shows. And there's also a link to my blog on there, Venus and Mars in Alignment, where we talk about the keys to having a successful relationship. I think you're going to find the discussion very interesting. Especially because I also give you a spin on being in the filming industry. I hope to see you all next Wednesday on Vegas Happy Hour at 8 p.m. West Coast time. Don't you worry and be happy. We are halfway through the work week. Oh,